The Lord be with you. I'm coming to you on behalf of Trinity this week, as we had anticipated to come back together this Sunday, but now the moment we did not imagine to be real is upon us, and we look at another month possibly. But we will continue to meet together in this way as the days unfold. The theme for this day, our Palm Sunday, is that our past is behind us, God's grace is before us, a new beginning awaits us. And so that is the message for Israel in Exodus 34. That is also God's message for us as well this Palm Sunday weekend. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Celebrate his lovely name with music, for the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel for his own special treasure. He destroyed the firstborn in each Egyptian home, both people and animals. He performed miraculous signs and wonders in Egypt against Pharaoh and all his people. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience and be made partakers of his resurrection through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first reading from Exodus 34, verses 1 through 8. The Lord said to Moses, "Chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones, and I will write on them the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. Be ready in the morning, and then come up on Mount Sinai, present yourself to me there on top of the mountain. No one is to come with you or be seen anywhere on the mountain. Not even the flocks and herds may graze in front of the mountain." So Moses chiseled out two stone tablets like the first ones and went up Mount Sinai early in the morning, as the Lord had commanded him, and he carried the two stone tablets in his hands. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. And Moses bowed down to the on the ground at once and worshiped. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So due to our limitation in recording time, I'm going to leave the rest of the readings for you. You'll find those in the bulletin that's been emailed out, and continue with the message this morning, a new beginning from Exodus 34, verses 1 through 8. So it may seem unlikely, but we start today with an illustration of an individual. Some of you may know this story. If so, just write it out perhaps and relate to the message as it unfolds. Jimmy Wayne learned never to trust a soul. That's why he never unpacked his bag. And who can blame him? Jimmy Wayne never knew his father, and his mother spent more time in jail than out of jail. When he was a small child, his mother got out of jail again and took up with another troublemaker once again. They loaded Jimmy into the back seat of their Oldsmobile Delta 88 for a year. That car was Jimmy Wayne's home. He learned never to trust a soul. and that's why Jimmy Wayne never unpacked his bag. After living in the back seat of a car for a year, Jimmy Wayne was dumped off at the train depot in Pensacola, Florida. His mother and her then boyfriend sped away in their Delta 88. Jimmy Wayne desperately needed a new beginning, left alone at the station. Today, as we look at Exodus 34, it also is about a new beginning. Aaron, Israel's high priest, desperately needs a new beginning, and so does Israel, and most certainly so do you and I. This, we realize, is another fall and redemption story. A new beginning is absolutely necessary. And why is that? We remember that in Exodus 32, Aaron and the Israelites were faced with a huge crisis. They hadn't seen Moses for 40 days and 40 nights. And the question was, is Moses dead? Did Moses leave and abandon them? Aaron and the Israelites grow impatient, and so they make a golden calf and they worship it. So to put this moment in context for us, imagine our nation in crisis without a daily leadership update, without a sense of ongoing presence and a reassurance of ongoing activity to address the crisis our nation is in. We would be in Israel's position of uncertainty. And certainly as we look at the historic moment for Israel here in Exodus, but also the contemporary moment for us as a nation, we realize there is a spiritual moment behind this, and that is that each of us needs this daily contact with our God, a kind of debriefing, a reassuring from and of his word, and preparation then for the day to come. Well, like this agency or not, in a huge crisis, the IRS knows exactly what to do. The IRS handbook explicitly states, and I quote, "During a state of national emergency, the essential functions of the IRS will be as follows: assessing, collecting, and recording taxes." Well, unquote. So while everyone else panics, the IRS knows exactly what to do, get their money. But when faced with the huge crisis of not having Moses, not having a word of leadership, a mention of resources and guidance, Aaron and the Israelites have no idea what to do. That's why they build a golden calf and worship it. What does Moses do when he comes down from Mount Sinai and realizes that what God has told him is indeed true? In anger, he smashes the Ten Commandments, grinds up the golden calf, mixes it with water, and makes the people drink it. The meaning here is simply, here is your God, and you consume it yourself. That's how meaningful and powerful this was. We pick up the narrative for us today in Exodus 34. Then Yahweh told Moses, "Chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones. I will write on them the same words that were on the tablets you smashed." The Ten Commandments had been smashed, and that's why the new beginning is absolutely necessary. Let's face it, we're not much different than Aaron and the Israelites. What do we do when faced with a crisis? Well, we are inclined to become angry, impatient, faithless, and selfish. We turn to our golden calves and look to them for salvation. God, the holy and righteous and perfect God, this God has every right to dump us off at a train depot in Pensacola, Florida, and ride off into the sunset. But he doesn't. Our God does not do that. A new beginning is totally possible. We read, "Then Yahweh came down in a cloud and stood there with Moses. He called out his name, Yahweh." Well, Yahweh frequently comes down in the book of Exodus. Exodus 3:8, we read, "Yahweh came down in the burning bush." In Exodus 19:20, Yahweh came down on Mount Sinai. in Exodus 40:34, Yahweh came down to fill the tabernacle with his cloud and glory. Do we get it? We can't go up to God. That's why God comes down to us, right here where we are, in the basement of our broken commandments and in the midst of our personal and national crises. And what does God do when he comes down? Scold us, shame us, berate us, reject us, condemn us? No. God cries out, Yahweh, Yahweh, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and lifting up wickedness, rebellion, and sin. A new beginning is totally possible, and our God will accomplish this. Our faith and our trust in God appropriates it to ourselves. And who is this God? Compassionate, we read. The first word in Hebrew here is rakum. It's closely related to the Hebrew word for a mother's womb, rekem. The idea of compassion then expresses the emotional connection that a mother has for a child in her womb. That's how God feels about you and me. God says, my love must be a kind of blind love. I only have eyes for you. Slow to anger. If God was quick to anger, his compassion wouldn't last a second in our lives. If God shot rockets of wrath every time we sinned, we would be blown to smithereens. But God shouts from Sinai, I am slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. Abounding announces that God's steadfast love is not limited. God is like the endless print of the federal government. Whenever there is a need, God just prints off more steadfast love. But there is a big, distinct difference. God has an infinite treasury of steadfast love to cover all the currency he prints. God's infinite resources of steadfast love will never run out. God go in debt, God go bankrupt, never ever. His steadfast love is backed up by the infinite suffering of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus on the cross, lifting up wickedness, rebellion, and sin. There are three Hebrew words for sin, and God uses all three of them right here. We could ask, why is that? Well, perhaps to show us that he lifts up every type of sin. There are no categories of unforgivable sins. Yahweh lifts up wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Wickedness means a sort of twisted depravity. It means we are crooked and bent. Rebellion refers to treason against our loving and covenant King, Yahweh, and sin means missing the mark. The Ten Commandments are the bullseye. We take aim and miss them far too often, and yet Yahweh lifts up wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Where does he put it all? Well, this is what brings us to Palm Sunday. Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey on a Sunday because the following Friday he is going to lift up the huge mess of our sin, rebellion, and wickedness and place it upon himself. All wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Jesus is, in fact, Yahweh in the flesh, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and lifting up wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Jesus teaches this love. Jesus lives this love. Jesus demonstrates this love by shedding his blood on the cross for you. Palm Sunday announces it, Good Friday shows it, and Easter Sunday celebrates it. It's all amazing. One day, while aimlessly walking around Pensacola, Florida, Jimmy Wayne, you remember little Jimmy, spotted a man named Russ working in his garage. He wound up mowing Russ's lawn, and soon Russ and his wife, Bee, invited Jimmy to live with them. The home was like heaven to Jimmy, a hot bath, hot meals, and even TV. Jimmy Wayne, though, had never learned to trust a soul. Jimmy Wayne still would not unpack his bag. A new beginning is entirely optional in a way. We can refuse to unpack our bag. We can reject divine love. We can reject the divine family of God's church. We can be callous and aloof, but that's not Moses. Certainly, Moses immediately threw himself to the ground and worshiped. So I invite you to follow Moses. We are invited to follow Moses. Trust that God, who is who he says he is, repeat Yahweh, Yahweh, until it surpasses the voice of fear and shame and guilt and blame. Throw yourself before Yahweh. To put it another way, be a sponge and not a rock. Put a rock in the ocean, and what happens? Its surface gets wet, but the inside of the rock stays untouched. Place a sponge in the ocean, and what happens? Oh, it absorbs the water. The ocean saturates the sponge. God's abounding, steadfast love surrounds us like an ocean. Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Sunday, totally amazing. And the question then is simply, what will our response be? That of a rock or a sponge? Jimmy Wayne had been rejected so many times that he was much more like a rock, a hard, unmoved rock. We get that. We understand it. That's why Jimmy never unpacked his bag. It took more than a month before Russ and Bee convinced Jimmy that their love for him was real. It was a matter of teaching, living, and demonstrating, showing compassionate care, a slowness to anger, abounding in steadfast love, taking up wickedness, rebellion, and sin. But finally, Jimmy Wayne unpacked his bag. Jimmy Wayne is now a famous country music singer and songwriter, but his new beginning started when he learned to trust, when he finally unpacked his bag of broken-hearted pain and distrust. So it is Palm Sunday. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Our past is behind us. God's grace is before us. A new beginning awaits. And so now what? Well, it's time to unpack our bag. And why do that? Well, because we finally have a home with Jesus. Amen. Now we join together in a few prayers this day. Almighty God, by your Spirit you have established us as your church and granted to us particular vocations within the church, home, and community in which to serve you and one another. Grant to us, dear Lord, every gift and blessing needful, that we may honor our calling and serve you to the best of our ability through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for the government, for all in authority over us, for our own lives as citizens and neighbors. O mighty Lord, you have established the kingdom of the left and hold accountable all those who govern in this and every place. Guide our president, the members of Congress, the governor of this state, and all who make, administer, and judge our laws, that they would serve nobly and wisely, pursuing the path of justice and protecting those least able to protect themselves through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for an end to violence and terror, for those imprisoned, for the troubled in mind, and for those who suffer any afflictions of the body. Merciful Lord, your grace is sufficient for all our needs, and you have promised to be the strength of the weary, the hope of those who fear, the healing of the ill, the fullness of those disabled, and the peace of all who are distressed. Hear us on behalf of those whom we name before you now. Supply each, dear Lord, with your grace in their time of trouble, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for all those who serve our communities through the healthcare system and related facilities. Jesus, we're grateful that as you come, you have revealed yourself in the way that you show compassion on the physical brokenness of the crowd, and you heal every disease as individuals call upon you. So we call upon those now, we call upon you, Lord, now for those who are serving in your behalf, particularly the nurses and doctors, all the practitioners in our healthcare system, both in our community, in our state, and beyond, for those serving from our armed forces and on a mission of compassion and mercy to the citizens of our country and those beyond, Lord, we pray that you would set your guardian angels over the well-being of each, Lord, the well-being of their body, that they may be able to continue to serve those in need, but also, Lord, the safeguarding of their hearts and their minds through this time of desperation for many, a time of uncertainty, and sadly, Lord, a time of loss. Allow us to be comforted, dear God, by the assurance that precious in your sight is the death of your saints. Comfort us with the promise that you've given of a new life, the new heavens and the new earth. And we pray, Lord, that as we implore your goodness and your compassion upon our people, that through this time, you, dear God, would be glorified through the service, our communities strengthened, our love, regard, and respect for one another increased. Aid us, dear Lord, in coming together as a community through this time of hardship. For all those who serve and work in the health field, let us pray to the Lord. Amen. God's peace to you. I intend to record messages for Monday, Thursday, Good Friday. It seems that we will not be gathering for our Easter services this year here at the sanctuary. So we will worship in our homes as we have been doing and anticipate a day when the all clear is sounded and we can return to a community together and have a truly great, joyful, and a wonderful expression of joy and praise. God keep each of us to that end. In Jesus' name, amen.